This is The Drive with Josh Graham podcast.
We're internet sensations, guys.
Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons, 3 to 7 on WSJS.
So glad to have you on this Wednesday drive. It is WSJS News Talk Sports for the Triad, where we have two killer concerts that we're giving away tickets to. Concert so good, David Tepper.
Concerts.
Even he'd get excited about it. Both shows next Saturday in Tepper's town of Charlotte. It's Willie Nelson, Robert Plant, Alison Krauss. Meanwhile, in Raleigh, it'll be Tim McGraw burning down the capital city to win, say, during BDOT's grammar school today. Weekly positivity, that's a Wednesday feature on Hump Day. 336-777-1600. Dot's going to join us at around 5:30. Got to get to the ACC-SEC Challenge basketball matchups that were released today, too. A lot to do. But prior to doing any of that, let's make some picks, starting with golf. We're going to be doing our show live from Pinehurst number 2 tomorrow.
It's live action, Tracy.
We're going to do that on Friday as well. It's the U.S. Open, of course. And after doing extensive homework and developing a detailed criteria over the last couple of weeks on this specific course, on this specific tournament, there is one player that stood out among the rest, having the tools to win at Pinehurst. He's my pick to win. It's Australian Cameron Smith. He has produced in the U.S. Open. That's where I start when trying to pick this specific major. How have you done in USGA events? How have you done in the U.S. Open? Ever since Tiger crushed the Open decades ago, the USGA, Michael Jordan meme, took that personally and made it laughably difficult, where seeing a double-digit under-par winner for this tournament is just unknown anymore. Does not happen all that often. Or when it does, they're at 10, maybe 11 under, if you're lucky. It's become very difficult, especially for younger players. Confidence, hard thing to come by when you hit good golf shots and frequently aren't rewarded for those good golf shots. So how has Cam Smith done? Well, let's look at his first U.S. Open. 21 years old, 9 years ago, 2015 at Chambers Bay.
9 times.
Cameron Smith finished fourth. Tied for fourth in that tournament. That was 9 years ago. Fast forward to last year, the last U.S. Open in Los Angeles. He finished fourth again. So he's performed well in adverse conditions that have been thrown his way by the USGA. Cam's strength is precision, not power. That's what's going to win at Pinehurst this week. The short stick, not your booming driver. Not the guys who are so long off the tee. Just look at Cam Smith's one major championship win. It was 2 years ago. It was the Open Championship at Royal St. Andrews. And what do we know about the old course? One of the most iconic courses in golf. It's not about how far you can hit it. Not at a course that old. It's about where you place it. It's about precision. It's about putting. It's about the greens and how you do there. That's what wins. That's what won his only major championship. That's what's led to success in the U.S. Open in the past. And in majors this year, Cam's shown flashes. He finished tied for sixth at Augusta. He had 3 under par rounds in Valhalla at the PGA before shooting 2 over in the final round of the PGA Championship. This is not the tournament where the favorites are going to win. You look at the top players in the world with the best odds. What are they known for? Booming drivers. WD watched Tin Cup for the first time. Guys who are known for letting the big dog eat. Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Victor Hovland, Xander Schauffele. They get such a great advantage for how long they are off the tee. Not in Pinehurst this week. It's not going to be won by a favorite. It's not going to be a sexy winner that gets it done. It's going to be somebody that's 40-1, 50-1, like Cam Smith. It's probably not going to be an American either. Cam Smith's not that. You watch. It's going to be some guy off LIV. And we know how it's easy for those guys to get overlooked and to get knocked when things aren't going well. Just look at John Rahm, how he's been knocked, not going to participate withdrawing after the foot injury he had in Houston last week. Cam Smith's on LIV. Cam Smith's not American. Cam Smith's not a favorite. But Cam Smith, for all those reasons, strangely checking a lot of boxes to win this U.S. Open at Pinehurst. That's why he's my pick to win the 124th U.S. Open.
Now watch this drive.
On X at WSJS Radio, if you want in, that's where we're streaming video in addition to YouTube and Twitch. Will Dalton, the producer of this show, that's my pick for the U.S. Open. WD, it's nice of you, as we transition to getting to the NBA Finals, to be wearing, as I am today, Celtics colors. It seems you have finally come around on the Celtics, who are up 2-0, looking to go up 3-0
tonight. No. This is my master's shirt that John Dell gave me. It has nothing to do with the Celtics.
When we're live at Pinehurst tomorrow, John Dell expected to be a guest on the show from Pinehurst number 2, getting to the NBA Finals.
Boston.
Tonight will be the Jason Tatum game. The Jason Tatum game that pushes Boston out of reach from the Mavericks. If it hasn't become obvious already that the Celtics are going to win the title, it will become obvious tonight, and it's going to be Jason Tatum. Sidney Lowe once had that saying all the time, your best players got to be your best players. And that is particularly true on the road in the playoffs. The supporting cast, it's not going to rescue Boston tonight.
Boston.
The way that it's rescued them the first 2 games at home. That can happen on your home floor. That does not happen in the playoffs when you're away from your building. It doesn't travel. So Drew Holiday in Boston can give you 26 points in a supplementary role. He can give you that. Peyton Pritchard is going to, in Boston, hit shots from
Boston.
The logo to close a quarter. That's not happening tonight. And that point's compounded with Kristaps Porzingis, his status still being uncertain. He's questionable to play in tonight's Game 3. Here's what the game is going to come down to tonight. It's going to be Tatum versus Kyrie, former teammates of each other. Luka and Jaylen Brown, they've become constants at this point. Jaylen Brown won conference finals MVP. He's been the best player in these playoffs for the Celtics. Jason Kidd, controversially, even said so. So they've kind of been constants. Luka, 30-plus in the first 2 games. 30-point triple-double in Game 2. Jaylen, over 20 points in the first 2 games. Meanwhile, neither Kyrie nor Tatum have cracked 20. So who's going to perform better between the two? Unlike Kyrie, Tatum doesn't really have a good excuse for his struggles. Kyrie does. I'm going up against Drew Holiday, who's on the U.S. Olympic team for how well he defends and is a champion for how well he defends. And then if it's not him defending me, it's Derek White, who's all defense. Maybe the best shot-blocking guard in recent memory. What's Tatum's excuse for missing all these shots and not playing that well? There's not a good one. So tonight, when you're on the road, your stars got to be your stars. He hasn't played well in the first 2. He's going to play well tonight. And what does that look like? Tatum's going to score 30, and it's going to be a high-scoring classic. The first 2 games were duds. Not tonight. Game 1, a blowout. Game 2, neither team really played that well, even though the score was close. Tonight, both teams are going to bring it, and it's going to be high-scoring. And Jason Tatum is going to win it for Boston, and the Celtics will go up 3-0 as a result. The Jason Tatum game later tonight.
It's The Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
B-Dot's back. Six-man Atari basketball. If you want to help me out in grammar school and Dot was the one telling me I need to elevate the standard. You have to actually get the question right to get the tickets. 336-777-1600. Especially that applies this week because we have tickets. Your choice for next Saturday, seeing Tim McGraw in Raleigh or seeing Willie Nelson, Allison Krauss, and Robert Plant together in Charlotte. Both those shows are next weekend. 336-777-1600. Dot, we've got news. For the third straight year, your North Carolina Tar Heels will be facing Alabama. Two seasons ago, a neutral court where Caleb Love put up a million shots, more specifically 36 in that 4-overtime loss to the Crimson Tide. The Sweet 16 in Los Angeles, Alabama bested the Tar Heels again, but both Mark Sears and RJ Davis are set to return when these teams meet in Chapel Hill on December the 4th for the ACC-SEC Challenge. That is the marquee game. You also have Bruce Pearl making his first trip to Cameron Indoor Stadium. Wake's playing at Texas A&M. NC State hosting Texas. That's pretty cool. But Dot, where's your hate level for Alabama right now?
It's probably third on the list at this point for me.
Whoa! Behind State and Duke?
Nah. State has actually been knocked down to four. Yeah. It would be Duke first, Kansas second, then you have Alabama, and then NC State rounding out my top four of most hated teams. And it's really just because of the stat you just named, Josh Graham. The last 2 years, they have freaking owned us. That Nathaniel Justin Oates, I don't like anything about him. I don't even like his name. Okay? And the guy Grant Nelson, will he be back or was he a senior? The guy who had that stupid mustache that gave us 24-12, dropped 12 points and 11. Can you believe we lost that game by 2 points and RJ Davis didn't make one three-pointer the entire game? That's the only game all season RJ went without making one three, which I guess it was a competition because right before that, you remember Caleb Love, it went 0-for-9 from three. That whole game was just insane. But as it pertains to Alabama, coming to Chapel Hill on Jay-Z's birthday of December 4th. I'm 100% with it, and I hope we spank that bottom, baby.
Grant Nelson is returning along with Mark Sears.
Oh, man, that dude with that stupid mustache gave us 24-12. Like, he scored like 12 points in the last 5 minutes of the game, man.
Yeah, you get to see him in person in December on Jay-Z's birthday, as you point out. So that's the ACC-SEC basketball challenge that was announced. Dot, you ready for grammar school?
Always, my boy.
Josh Graham has his own way of speaking. And just when you think it can't get any worse, rah, 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 Josh is going to attempt to learn B-Dot's vernacular.
I'm
going to
put one in the air.
It's time for B-Dot's Grammar School.
Nobody better than B-Dot. Pre-game, during game, post-game.
Brought to you by Heritage Hardwood Floors. When it comes to flooring, they have no ceiling.
At Heritage Hardwood Floors. When it comes to flooring, you know it. Zero ceiling. Let's go, Josh.
If you want to help me out, hey! Get Tim McGraw / Willie Nelson tickets for next weekend. Willie going to be joined by Robert Plant and Allison Krauss. 336-777-1600. I'm nervous for you on this caucastic question. Really, it's a couple of questions here. We're going to be doing our show, Dot, tomorrow and Friday from a golf major championship that's being played in the state of North Carolina. Can you tell me what championship that is or where in the state this tournament is being held?
Joshua Graham, it seems as though whenever the U.S. Open comes around, you always ask me, do I know anything about Pinehurst? And one of my best friends is from Pinehurst.
Let's
so
go.
I'm very familiar that June 13th, the U.S. Open begins in Pinehurst with 156 players, and we'll dwindle them down to 9.
Dwindle them down to 9? What does that mean?
Ain't that how it goes?
No, I mean, one person wins the U.S. Open.
but everybody, like every, what is a $20 million pot, correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So only a handful of people are earning money. Sure. And it's a fair, pretty big pot that exists. You're not reading anything, are you?
No, I'm not reading anything, Josh Graham.
That's pretty good retention on your part. Hey, now.
Where's, I got clothes on, Josh Graham.
Where's Gary Hahn?
I'm just letting you know it's a screen. There's nothing. Hey, I don't have any.
Let's go to the sidelines. Tony Haynes.
You ask me about the U.S. Open every year, and you ask me about Pinehurst. I know those two for that very reason. Now, I did learn recently, because I got a homie. I went to his house, and he was talking about golfing, and he was talking about it being 156 starters. And he said something about it dwindling down to the top nine. That's where I thought I got that information from.
Got it. Okay. Well, we're learning. This segment has done both of us a lot of good over the years. What is your first question for me in grammar school?
Four letters, Josh Graham. B F F R.
B F F R. Are one of those F's? Yeah. Okay. So one of those F's, we got to be careful around.
Yeah, one of those F's, if you say it on the radio, this is going to be your last day. You will be broadcasting from Pinehurst tomorrow, buddy.
Best bleeping friend.
As a matter of fact, if you said the F word, I would respond with BFFR.
Ah, I like this one.
336-777-1600. Help! WD, which of these callers do you feel the most confident in might know what BFFR means?
Oof.
You've talked to them.
Let's,
I haven't.
Let's try Jonathan from Winston-Salem.
Okay, Jonathan and Winston-Salem. One of these Fs you can't say on the radio, so how about just say bleepin' instead of that word? What, for Tim McGraw tickets or tickets to see Willie and company, what does BFFR mean?
I'm thinking B blankin' for real.
I think that's a good guess. Jonathan, I'm going to go with you on that because last week I didn't go with a caller and it was a bad idea. Let me get more information. I don't get multiple lifelines, but I can use lifelines on the same one. Let's go to William in Yadkinville. William, do you have an idea what BFFR means? If we acknowledge one of those Fs, you cannot say on the radio.
I'm going to have to go with the other guy. I was going to say B. Freddie Flintstone for real.
B. Freddie Flintstone for real. Got it. Thanks, William. Ray and Randleman, do you think Jonathan's got it as well, or is there anything you would like to take a stab at? BFFR.
I agree with him.
All right, we're all in this together. B bleeping for real, Dot.
That is correct, Josh Graham.
Jonathan!
B freaking for real. Yeah,
Jonathan!
Yeah.
You're going to either Tim McGraw or to go see Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have thoughts in your head that might include that F word you can't say on the air, but which of those shows are you going to go to, Jonathan?
Let's go a little Tim McGraw, man.
You enjoy that, my friend.
Thank you.
There he goes.
Hey, don't Tim McGraw got the song with Nelly?
Over and over again.
It's all in my head. I keep that over and over again.
Over and again. And he's Michael Orr's dad in The Blind Side.
You know The Blind Side was made up. That did not happen.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of got that sense talking to Michael Orr when he was with the Panthers.
Really?
After talking to him a few times, not really so much about the subject, and also being around the real kid in real life, wasn't the greatest character to be around, let's just say.
Really?
I've been skeptical of that movie for about a decade, so that's not a shock.
Wow.
Okay,
Second word for you, Josh Graham. What's Riz? R-I-Z-Z.
It's that,
is not sexual in nature.
It's that swag, bro. Got that Riz.
Ooh.
I'm Rizzed up with my master's cap on. Even though it has like the year on it, so I probably will not wear it beyond this calendar year, 2024 Masters. Riz,
I don't think
baby.
White people should wear Masters hats, but that's a whole nother conversation, Josh Graham. You are 100% correct in what Riz is. 100% correct.
That's it.
Yeah.
Can you be Rizzy?
Yeah. How did you know that so easily, Josh Graham?
I don't know. But
I mean, you threw that one out like like you use it in your daily nomenclature.
Can you be Rizzy though?
Ryan, come here real quick. Here
Ryan, you need to teach me Spanish. She needs to teach me Spanish words next because I know now, she did well in her Spanish Riz, test.
Right, hey. They can have Riz.
Yeah.
But can someone be Rizzy?
Can you be Rizzy?
Really?
Yeah.
Am
I Rizzy? No. Ryan, am I Rizzy?
If someone Rizzes you up, you can say they're Rizzy. Okay, thank you very much.
Am I Rizzy though?
Josh Rizzy? No, okay. Josh, you're not. Yeah,
that's the correct answer, sadly. Okay, but I did get a winning score. What's the last one here?
If you could have saw how serious you said quickly,
no.
You said no, you weren't Rizzy.
Absolutely not.
I wish I could have saw that.
Dad, no.
Who?
No, that's what Ryan said. Absolutely not, Dad. Josh Graham, Rizzy, no.
All right, for your last word, who are mutes? Mutes. M-O-O-T-S. Mutes.
Oh. Not like the people that...
Yeah, not like people that can't speak because they don't have any vocal cords. They're mute. Not those people. We're talking about mutes. M-O-O-T-S.
So wouldn't it be pronounced moots?
I guess.
Okay, like moot point, kind of, maybe? I don't think it has anything to do with that. Is this an acronym?
No, it's not an acronym.
Okay.
Who are moots?
Moots. Moots.
Who are moots?
Moots.
Do you know WD?
I think so, which is why I don't think it's pronounced moots. Mutes.
It's mute, right?
It's mutes.
Yeah, mutes.
But Josh would call it moots. He
Josh
would.
Josh would call it the caucasity of it all. Josh would call it moots.
Yeah.
Yeah, pronunciation. Who needs that? I'm going to guess mutes are people that like lack self-awareness that maybe do speak too much that probably should shut up. They're mutes. Why are you laughing, WD?
I'm not laughing.
Do you wanna answer the question? That was my guess. I'm wrong or right, but let's see if you
see,
know.
See, I think mutes is like mutual followers, people you know. Maybe even specifically to social media. Mutes.
Dot.
What you going with?
I already answered the question. Yeah.
So you weren't asking WD. Oh, you should ask WD. WD knew exactly what it was.
I know,
it's
but I already used
mutual followers.
Okay, I already used my lifeline.
I'll give you
I'm
this.
I'm honoring the integrity of the game,
and I'll give myself this.
Yeah. Honoring
and
the.
I feel good about it.
Yeah. I'm honoring the integrity.
Mutual friends, mutual followers, definitely. When you're talking about social media, like we're all mutes.
Dot. Game three of the finals tonight. If the Celtics win, WD is going to be singing three karaoke songs of my choosing, but I'm going to gift one of those songs to you and one of those songs to the audience. So there you go.
I think my song is going to be Lil Rue, Nasty Song. She's sliding down the street. She noticed she's I think.
Or just pull something by Sexy Red. See what happens.
Yeah. Give me that.
So he'll have too much fun with that. He'll have too much fun with Sexy.
A lot of possibilities. That one.
Hey, Dallas wins tonight, baby. Dallas
they do.
Get one tonight, baby.
That's right.
Jason Tatum game tonight. Boston wins.
Drew Holiday's just too much, man.
Jason Tatum game tonight. It's gonna happen. There you
Boston.
Go.
Boston.
I think Jason Tatum is shriveling in the shadows of Jaylen Brown. He's doing so well, man. For some reason, I don't think Jason Tatum can live up to what his real talent is. Like, Jason Tatum is the best player on the Celtics, but Jaylen Brown is the most athletic. But Jason Tatum is allowing this whole conversation of his Jaylen Brown's team to dwarf him. Like, he's missing layups and shots that he knocks down every game. Like, it's very weird to watch.
It is. See, that's the reason why I like Boston tonight, just because regardless of where the game's being played, I don't think just because you're playing on a different court, Kyrie's all of a sudden going to work Drew Holiday and Derek White now. And I think it's just a bad matchup for Lively and Gafford when you're playing a 5-out 3-point shooting team. Their strength is stopping you at the rim. Well, Boston's waving at you and saying, you can stay down there. We're going to knock down these threes. They didn't even shoot it that well in game two. And you know the scary three-point shooting game's coming. You know the Jason Tatum game's coming at some point. I say that's tonight. That's what I say.
I think they get one in Dallas off of emotion like Minnesota did, and then Celtics win it in Boston. But thanks for having me, Joshua Graham. Love you guys.
We must talk.
Go ahead.
Talk back to the drive with Josh Graham.
Best bets about 5 minutes or so away for game three of the NBA Finals. You have to think there's going to be some sort of a tribute tonight for Jerry West, who passed away. He's the logo, quite literally, hard to, in a short span of time, capture the significance of Jerry West's career. The simple, short way to do it is to say he's the logo, like we just did. But expanding upon that, when you look at what this league is built on, what the NBA is today, it took its biggest leap when Magic and Bird entered in 1979. Michael Jordan then taking it from being a sport that was regionally followed, that people would care about, but it certainly wasn't one of the most popular sports in America, to being the sport that it is today, a dominant national sport. Michael doing that, and then LeBron carrying it from there among the stars that we see today. But before Larry and before Magic, it was the 60s and it was the 70s, early 70s with, or I guess not early 70s in Russell's case, but it was Jerry West against Bill Russell. And that's what this league was built on, and why it's appropriate that Jerry West's silhouette is the logo for the NBA. So nationally, people are mourning the loss of Jerry West. Locally, we lost Bob Harris earlier today. We carry Duke football, Duke basketball here on WSJS. David Shumate is the voice of the Blue Devils, but David would be the first one to admit he is the voice of the Blue Devils B, because Bob Harris is always going to be the voice of the Blue Devils. He died at 81 today, and from a broadcasting standpoint, excellent. He's the perfect announcer to have for your team. If you're a Duke fan and you listen to Bob, you knew he was just as invested, probably even more invested than you were, in what was going to happen with the Blue Devils, and it came through on his calls. His most iconic being the Christian Laettner shot over 30 years ago to send the Blue Devils to the Final Four.
Bobby Hurley up the floor with Laettner. They throw it the length of the floor. Laettner catches, comes down, dribbles, shoots, scores! Christian Laettner has hit the bucket at the buzzer! The Blue Devils win it! 104 to 103! Look out, Minneapolis! Here come the Blue Devils!
A perfect call. Picture perfect. You knew exactly where the guy caught it. He got the dribble in there. The shot identified the player, captured the moment on what happened, and even was able to work the score in there and where the Blue Devils were headed for that Final Four. A perfect call. As good as it gets right there. Bob Harris, he had a catchphrase that he'd only use but sparingly, where he'd say, "How sweet it is." That's what he would say. He didn't say it there. He didn't even say it on this next call, but man, how sweet a career Bob Harris had. Here he was on the Austin Rivers shot in 2012.
Tar Heel, as Rivers comes front court. Rivers works against Block. He will try to step back with 1 second left. Fly! And the Blue Devils win over North Carolina, 85-84. Oh my gosh, I do not believe this.
Again, just so good. So that's the broadcast piece. but I'm going to remember him as a mentor and a friend. First time I met him was close to 15 years ago when I was coming up, and I told him, hey, I wanted to be a broadcaster one day. One of the first questions he asked me was, have you ever been to Cameron? Told him I had not. And the next basketball season, not forgetting about me, he extended that invitation to sit in the crow's nest with him and watch a few games. First time I ever been to Cameron. I watched in perhaps the coolest seat in the house, climbing the old ladder to get up there and sit with Bob Harris, having a headset on and listening to him call the game. And he stayed in touch. He took a liking to me, so much so that his wife, Bobby, reached out to me. And when Bob was going to be recognized with the highest civilian honor in the state of North Carolina, given to him by the governor, the Order of the Longleaf Pine, I was invited to be there. And it was I was honored to be there. And it was an emotional night for Bob. He knew what it meant. He loves this state. He loves where he's from. He loves Durham, certainly, but loves Albemarle, where he grew up. And what a life. What a career. And what a voice. A great example he set for a lot of broadcasters to do the job well. Bob Harris passing away today at 81 years old. Let's get to today's bets. Game 3 of the NBA Finals.
I'm not a betting duck.
Care to make it interesting?
You know you do.
You're on. Count me in on this.
Your best bet.
But my money's on the other team.
This is Josh's best bet.
Okay, WD got 2 out of 3. Probably should have been 3 out of 3 for game 1. 1 out of 3 due to the Porzingis injury in game 2. I got 3 more bets for tonight. You ready for this?
Let's do it.
Jason Tatum game. Think he's going to score 30, so certainly I think he's going to go over 26.5 points. It's bound to happen for him eventually. Hasn't happened in the first two. Tonight is the night. Stars have to be stars when you're playing on the road in the playoffs. Tonight's in Dallas, and Jason Tatum's going to go over that number of 26.5.
Send me that cash out, fam.
I think a lot of points are going to be scored tonight. First two games have gone under. I see this line anywhere from 212.5, climbed to 213.5. Some places it's now 214.5. So I'll just say, whatever the number is, I have it here at 213.5. We're going to go over that. I think Dallas is finally going to shake free on some things. I think without Kristaps in the lineup, less minutes for Lively and Gafford, there's going to be less defense, less shot altering in this game, and a lot of scoring. Getting to the rim, hitting threes after both teams were ice cold from three-point range. I think tonight is a shootout, and I think we exceed that number of 213.5. Some places 214.5, some places 212.5.
Over on the total. Out, fam.
And then, WD, I asked you yesterday what you thought the line for game 3 would be, and you're like, maybe Celtics by 5.5 again. The Celtics are underdogs. They're 2.5-point dogs. But, you know, you don't really get a lot of value when you're picking a team plus 2.5 points. Just take the Celtics' money line. How often do you get the team that's only lost 20 games the entire year, that's up 2-0 in the series, at plus money? Hey, if the Celtics win and you put $10 on it, well, then you make close to $13. All right, sign me up for that. The Celtics as an underdog, plus 122. So there you go. Jason Tatum,
cash out, fam.
Over 26.5, over on the total of 214 and the Celtics money line. Those are the best bets for game 3 of the finals. Speaking of underdogs, all of these lines that we give you are from Underdog Sportsbook. Jason Tatum, over 26.5 is -126. The over on the total, -107. The Celtics money line, plus 122, all from Underdog Sportsbook. You can play now. Play along with me. Fade my picks or ride with me. Let's go. Let's go to battle. Yes. Right now. Kill me. We've done that movie, right? Predator.
Movie. Oh, yeah, we did Predator. The Chopper.
I'm right here. Right here.
The Drive with Josh Graham. Only on WSJS.
Charlotte FC faces DC United this weekend. This is a 7:30 kick you can listen to on WSJS. Whoop Logic, voice of Charlotte FC, along with us. Have a fun announcement for next week that you're aware of that will be fun amidst the WDs that we're doing. Have we let you know what the WDs are yet, Will Pelagic? Are you aware of this?
Make me aware.
Okay. So Will Dalton has seen none of the good movies until we started making him watch some of the good movies. He just hit 100 movies. So we thought next week, each day, he's going to give us a best actor, best actress, best supporting actor, all the major categories, best picture winner for each for the movies that he's watched over the last 2.5 years. And because Ian Eagle somehow has become a huge fan of this segment and throwing movies at WD over the years, including Fast Times at Ridgemont High, they tend to be dumb 80s comedies. Caddyshack is another example of this. Apparently, Ian Eagle has just voiced this entire thing for us that we're going to do each day next week. So we have that. And here's a quick tease of that.
These are the WDs.
There you go. So
there you go.
Amidst
how does
that,
one become a presenter for the WDs? Can I throw my hat in the ring?
You know, maybe for the second annual WDs, you can
like
be the guy because there's no chance Ian's going to want to do it a second time. So
that's fine.
We shall see. Will Pelagic.
You have me at my pre-negotiated rate, which is free.
Boom. We'll get to that fun announcement next week. Again, listen to Charlotte FC Soccer right here on WSJS. Before we get to the Panthers, actually a quick question on that note and a confession on the front end. I grew up, the first soccer team that I had that I followed that I was a fan of was DC United.
Mm-hmm.
Freddie Adu. And then I followed them up until Wayne Rooney was on the team 5-6 years ago. So that was my squad. I hope you can forgive me for that.
I have the privilege of having seen Wayne Rooney compete as a player for DC United and as a coach for DC United, at least the second part of it as a broadcaster. So I definitely understand your plight. I've been to that stadium before, even seen them play at RFK before with my DC roots. So I wouldn't have ever called myself a DC United fan, but it does at least ring a little true knowing that they are a foundational franchise in MLS. Whenever we had a chance to play them, knowing we also played our first ever game against them, also holds a special place in Charlotte FC's heart. And it's a critical game and a critical time for Charlotte FC this upcoming weekend because you only have 3 games at home before the League's Cup break. One of those is at home against DC United. Another one comes next Wednesday against Orlando City, and then the 3rd of July against Inter Miami. So these are all very much important. And then 5 of those 6 games that are remaining are all on the road and all in quick succession after that Orlando contest. So this is a very critical part of the schedule for Charlotte FC, sitting in 5th place in the Eastern Conference, which is a very, very good spot to be in. And they want to keep sitting there.
Getting the Charlotte FC's roommates at Bank of America Stadium, the Carolina Panthers are having mini camp this week. And Dave Canales today was asked about position battles, and it was a long answer that he gave, but the first two positions that he listed off were running back and tight end. Which of those two position battles interest you most? Who do you see emerging at those spots?
Well, I think it's intriguing because they drafted very prominently at both those positions, with Jatavion Sanders at tight end and at running back with Jonathan Brooks from Texas. Of course, the issue I think for a lot of people is how much will Brooks, you know, factor into that with, you know, coming off that ACL injury. But I think it even, you know, speaks to the candid nature of how, you know, Chuba Hubbard was involved and also is Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders, I know, spoke about, you know, coming back from the heel injury and his continued rehab in terms of that. I think his desire to run the football, his being Dave Canales, I think makes me more intrigued about the running back position. But the fact that tight end is something that he mentioned, I think gives us a little bit of credence in not only how much he feels like Tommy Tremble could take the next step, but also how much Jatavion Sanders can push him as well. I know that they expect Ian Thomas to be involved with that as well. And of course, also some of the other additions that they made as well. I know that that they made some other additions, of course, including Matthews as well. So there's at least a desire to involve the tight end, which I think is more than you could say for the previous regime. And I think that should be intriguing because we all know that the best security blanket for a young quarterback is a tight end who can catch the football as that last outlet. And the other big best friend of his is the running game, which I know the Panthers didn't do enough, at least from the offensive line and the running back standpoint, to make that a big focal point of the offense a year ago. And hopefully those things are both running in concert together to make the Panthers at least a better outfit in 2024.
When it comes to tight end getting it involved, previous regimes, plural, having problems doing that. Will Polajic.
Very much noted. Very much noted.
What happens with Miles Sanders, you think?
I hope he gets it together. I mean, you know, he was so much labeled as this, you know, product of the Philadelphia system. And I'm not trying to outright reject that, but like, I feel like if you can run the football in that system and then you end up acquiring two great linemen like Robert Hunt and Damian Lewis, and you have somebody who is identified as a road grader like Ike Ekwonu, and you have a coordinator turned head coach that wants a commitment to run the football, I'd like to think that there is a prominent space for him, provided health and all those other things. But honestly, you know, you almost kind of forgot he was on the roster at times a year ago. So that part of it, I think, makes me somewhat wary about putting any level of trust in him. But I'd like to think that he can run the football well. I'd like to think that he and Chuba Hubbard can coexist. And one of the things that Canales has said is that, you know, this is by committee. You know, they want to get other guys involved in the run game, whether it's, you know, Amir Smith-Marset, or whether it's Jonathan Brooks, whether it's Blackshear, you know, all these other names that are talked about as part of, and even, you know, Lee Gett can be a part of it too, whether it's, you know, in the quick screen game or, you know, the quick passing game as well. That's also another phase of the run game as well. So I like to think that Miles Sanders, with that hefty contract, can be a part of this offense. But I think at the other part of this, too, that you come back to, Josh, is that he does command a pretty heavy salary number. And will that number justify from his output? And that, I think that's the big question going into this season, and will definitely be asked after the season's over as well.
That might be the story of going into training camp. Whether is this a guy under... See, there are fans that speak two sides of their mouth a little bit. It happens sometimes where they're willing to say, well,
no,
you can't write off Bryce Young because of how bad the offense was and how bad it was written off. And many of those same people will say, Miles Sanders sucked last year, so we need to get rid of that guy right now. Well, hold one second. And the same might be true of Ike Ekwonu as well. But in camp, these are types of things you can test, you can figure out when you bring in a team like the Jets that has a really good defense. You can test and see is Miles Sanders competing with Chuba Hubbard at the top of the running back room, or is he just trying to make the roster by beating out Rashad Penny and Raheem Blackshear? Where exactly is he? That's the question.
It's a very valid point, and I didn't even mean to leave out Rashad Penny because I know he's somebody who is very close to Canales and his regime and Idzik as well. And he's somebody that's a factor. And I think that the signing of Rashad Penny, speaks to reason that, you know, maybe his spot, him being Miles Sanders' spot on this roster, is not guaranteed by the end of training camp. So I think that there is a potential for him to have to prove himself. And I like that they are at least saying outright, hey, we know that this part of the team was inefficient a year ago. We're doing everything we can and uncovering every stone to try and make it better because we know how much of an impact it has into our success as a football team.
Good to see you, Willie P. Next week when you join us, fun announcement. Have a great call this week until then, though.
I'm ready for all the fun announcements, and I'll be locked in for the WDs when they are released.
Ready, set, sports.
Let's go! This is The Drive with Josh Graham.
We have ACC-SEC challenge matchups for next basketball season in front of us. See, you thought I was talking about the college baseball national championship, talking about the College World Series. No. Just had the ACC-SEC challenge matchups drop. We'll get to those in about 15 minutes. Heard from Jadeveon Clowney at Panthers camp. That's another thing that we'll get to momentarily. Dave Canales just spoke to the media. By the way, If you want tickets to go see Tim McGraw next weekend in Raleigh, next Saturday, or the same day would prefer to see Willie Nelson, Robert Plant, Alison Krauss on the Outlaw Tour in Charlotte, give us a call right now, 336-777-1600. We have two pairs of tickets to each show. They're available as supplies last. Weekly Positivity, all you have to do is call in and tell us something good and give us a call right now, 336-777-1600 if you want tickets to those shows. Dave Canales, he spoke in the last hour and indicated he was asked about position battles. The first two positions that he pointed to, running back and tight end, those were the primary position battles that he saw as being really competitive. He said, Tommy Tremble, take this with a grain of salt, when answering a separate question about who has stood out during minicamp and during offseason programs, he applauded the leadership of Tommy Tremble and Chuba Hubbard. And Derek Brown was another one that he named, but Chuba Hubbard and Tommy Tremble were the guys that he pointed to, which should seem relevant when Dave Canales said that running back and tight end were going to be competitive position battles. Maybe those guys are leaders in the clubhouse as a result of that. Eddie Pinheiro kicked for the first time this offseason, at least with the Panthers in their facilities, 2-for-4 in the team period today. Thicker kicker versus Eddie Pinheiro. That's going to be something to keep an eye on. Let's give away tickets to see Willie, Alison Krauss, and Robert Plant in Charlotte. Let's give away tickets to go see Tim McGraw in Raleigh, both shows next Saturday. 336-777-1600. It's time for Weekly Positivity. Oh, yeah. Follow the Money. Presented by Biscuit King.
Biscuits.
It is Weekly Positivity. Your movie next week, All the President's Men. The closest poll on social media that we've ever had. With 28% of the vote, All the President's Men won. Gone Girl, or pardon me, Unforgiven, had 26% of the vote. Gone Girl and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood had 23% of the vote. They all got at least 20%, and no movie received 30% or better.
Wow, so good.
Maybe we'll get to that movie after the WDs next week. WD, tell me something good.
I have so many things going for me right now.
Like what?
The Yankees keep winning. The Mavericks are going to win tonight. UNC.
That's not going for you yet.
It's going to go for me, though. That's UNC. They're in the College World Series this weekend. I'm excited about the WDs next week. I'm really excited for that. But also, so I was at Harris Teeter last night.
Yeah.
And I saw a new coffee creamer that really intrigued me. And it was on sale for $3.50. It was Chobani. You know Chobani?
Yeah.
Like, makes the yogurt and creamers and things like that. Usually it's like $5 and change, almost $6 for a thing of creamer. Well, now it was on sale for $3.50. And they had a cinnamon coffee cake flavor. And boy, it's good.
Can you cut the music real quick? Cut it. Just cut it. This is how you know it's live radio. You can't plan things ever. You can't plan things. But whenever we play Weekly Positivity.
Yes.
And we have a giveaway.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. I knew something was off with you.
Hold one second.
Get fired up.
I'm not going to say any shows by name But sometimes it's not the top shelf. Sometimes it's not the top shelf. And the phone lines will be popping. I have six slots here in front of me, and they'd be popping full for not top shelf concerts that we're talking about here. Are we on? Is this thing on? We got tickets for Tim freaking McGraw next week in Raleigh.
Do you hear that?
And if you don't want to go to Raleigh, oh, that's fine. I'm more of a Charlotte person. Willie Nelson, Robert Plant, and Alison Krauss are playing the same night. And I don't see anybody calling for these tickets. How's that possible?
He's really fired.
Is this thing broken? Have you seen the movie Zoolander?
Say what?
Have you seen Zoolander?
No, I have not seen
with
that.
Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson, Will Ferrell.
Have we
No, we have not done.
No.
We can, maybe in your next 100 movies,
yeah.
We can do that. But there's an iconic scene where Will Ferrell's character is talking about, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Well,
Mugatu. That's how I feel right now.
Does nobody want to see Tim McGraw?
I'll take the tickets. I'll give them to my mom. My dad will be there tomorrow. I don't know if I have a Father's Day gift yet. I guess I do now.
Ah, here we go.
336-777-1600. Now let's get back to the music and weekly positivity. Grooves, Rabba. Anybody could have gotten in a freak gasoline fight accident. All you gotta do is give us a call and tell us something good. Now I see six lines lit up with calls. It's funny how that works. Let's go to John in High Point. Hi, John.
Hey, how we doing today?
Let me think about that. I'm doing good. Tell me something good with you.
Oh, hey, it's a great day. Just left work, so life is good, huh?
Wow, it's 3:20 in the afternoon. We're leaving work. If you don't mind me asking, what do you do for a living?
Oh, I'm leaving work, but I'm actually heading home to go back to work. So maybe I shouldn't have used that as a good example.
Ah, okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Which show is more interesting to you?
So, Tim McGraw, for sure.
All right.
And honestly, I was pausing on calling because I'm babysitting my grandkids that night. But then I started thinking, hey, and maybe this is the good news.
Yeah.
I could give those tickets to my daughter and son-in-law for date night.
Bang, bang. Pow, pow. That'd be a fantastic gift. That's what I'm saying. Good work, John.
Yeah.
Perfect granddad you are. Perfect father, it sounds like, too. Turn Father's Day on its head and say, you know what? Gift for my son's day. Boom.
Here we go. Thanks.
There you go. It's John in High Point. Enjoy the show. Let's go to Matt in a town that Hayes Permar calls Puff Town. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Josh. How you doing today? Everything good?
I'd say everything is good. How about you?
I'm doing well. Doing real good, actually. My daughter's coming back from the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Looking forward to seeing her and hanging out this weekend. And just looking forward to Omaha and some World Series baseball this weekend.
Is she a Kentucky Wildcat fan? Because you know they play NC State Sunday.
Absolutely, sir. Yep, I'll be watching with her and looking forward to it.
Who are you rooting for? Did we lose Matt? Is this Matt Jones? There he goes. Enjoy the concert, Matt, in Puff Town.
You know, with concerts.
Earlier today, WD, I went house shopping for the first time.
Did you really?
I did. See, I had always rented until I met Sarah Bradford, and she had already owned a house. So when we got married, we just moved into her house that she already owned. So I never really went home shopping before. We went into a couple of homes today. It's more fun than I thought it would be.
Oh, I think it's so much fun.
Where you kind of get to see, like, how loved on this house was by the previous owners.
Yeah.
And
it smells good.
What?
It smells new, like a new house.
It doesn't, though.
That's right.
Just smells like a house.
It smells like new house.
But you get to go into different rooms and imagine, oh, well, this would be a good place for the Peloton. This would be a good... What do we think of this color? Oh, we'd have to change this. This is great. So, that's good. Probably the most fun I've had this week until we end up in Pinehurst tomorrow. And that's been Weekly Positivity. I'm not usually one to shame the audience. But sometimes the audience is worth shaming. If I get called out for being dumb sometimes, and I'm dumb quite a bit. Are
yes.
you kidding me? That's why we have Sarah McLachlan in the first place. Sometimes I could say you're dumb.
Yes.
And I'm like, whoa. It's dumb that we have Tim McGraw and tickets to go see Willie, Alison Krauss, and Robert Plant, and there's nobody calling in when, again, there are shows in my head I want to say out loud that people flooded the phone lines for this segment, but I'm not going to say them out loud. I just feel comfortable enough to say, what are we doing here? And shout out to those who, got off the mat representing the triad well for a little bit.